Carnival World, Chapter 51. Kai intervened by causing a spectacle. Quickly taking the folding shovel from its leather hoop on its pack, he slammed the blade down hard on the metal mermite container, which he had recently parked next to his ammo box of 12-gauge shotgun slugs. He carried standard slugs in his belt loops and in his pockets, but the box was full to the brim with copper alloy projectiles. Bruce the Moose Kai, after banging his shovel on the mermite case, rocked back and forth like a muscle-bound man and gestured with his shovel, while the islander Kai was almost as large and muscular as Gordo. It only added to the effect. The ranger launched into a Cajun accent and demanded, "Dude! Yous ain't had a good breakfast until yous have ate Cajun. I guarantee that, Senor Jose. Today, just for yous, we are going to pretend it's lunchtime. Today, I'm going to learn you how to make a good Cajun swips boiled over white rice." Gordo cradled a golden Spartan helmet that he had purchased earlier at the Carnival City gift shop, as he smiled a goofy, toothy grin. He ran his rough fingers through the alternating bands of stiff, red and black horse tail hairs on his helmet. His new skin, which he was starting to admire, was a well-tanned brown with a strong olive tint. The horsehair-crested helmet was a bit warm for his taste, but it looked sharp. Only needed to be worn during filming to cover his large ears and protruding lower canines. Those ears did not have the long tips of goblins, but did have scalloping along the outer edges like hobs and gobs. The golden helmet was not just a toy. The Carnival City gift shop not only sold cheap plastic tourist items, but real, pricey and usable arms and armor for the carnival games. Gordo dropped into a resting squat and chuckled like a cement mixer. While he was really talking to Maria Orsic Schmidt, he talked as if he was speaking to everyone. "Gods, this will be funny. Guy does this impression of, what does he call it? Oh yeah, the Cajun beer bong chef." Two men from the camera crew who didn't understand English, Gomez and Jorge, having just finished with erecting the porta-potty, plucked at Anselm's robe and exclaimed, "Eso serio?" Anselm mumbled in English, "So you want to know what happened?" Anselm shook his head and rolled his large dark brown eyes and began interpreting for them, but not much above a whisper. With furtive glances back at Anselm from time to time, they closely watched the animated Hawaiian ranger do his beer bong Cajun chef impression. Banging the mermaid carrier one more time for emphasis, Kai shouted, "Let's do it! First we will add the water, no seasoning just yet. We will bring this King Cooper double boiler pot to a boil." Ranger Kai pretended to toss a couple of water buckets into the audience. "Get that out of here!" Then Kai did the muscle-bound dance shuffle once more and threw back his head like he had long Goldilocks hair tucked under a ball cap. Of course, the ranger had crew-cut raven hair, a bit oily from sweating, under his ranger beret. "We start with the water and throw in those 10 lemons. Don't peel them or squeeze them. Just cut them in half and throw them in." He slammed the mermite box again with his shovel blade. "Now put in a bag of red witch doses. Pop, pop, pop. Just like that. Dudes." I pretended to throw a pan at the group and exclaimed, "Get that out of here." He smiled and added, "Throw the whole eagle cooler of that there schwips in that there water. When it is at a roiling boil, no shrimps left behind. No more than 60 seconds. Woo-wee! Keep stirring then. I'll show you all. Don't know if stirring is important, like when your all is making a roux, but it looks cool. Then," continued Kai, "y'all just drains it, then puts it back in the ice chest. That way, dudes, Thought shrimp will crack easier when it's time to eat. Kai pretended to dump the imaginary shrimp, lemons, and wrinkled bright red cayenne peppers into the ice chest. Kai hit his shovel on the mermite box, but gently. Y'all gotta use that holy trinity. A pound of celery, a pound of onions, a pound of yellow, and a pound of red sweet peppers. And don't you forget the 1 gallon of pickled ghost peppers and jalapenos. Boom! Next, you gotta add a bucket of small purple and yellow potatoes. Up, up, up! Just like that! Kai pretended again to stir the imaginary giant pot with his short shovel. And even though we put in a bag of onions earlier, we do it again. Boom! Looky here, dudes. As y'all can see, I got them ingredients waiting in my black plastic food canoe. Well, it's got a flat back and a pointy front, so it's a kid's boat. But I call it a canoe, just like my daddy did. And don't forget the smashed garlics. And don't forget the frozen corn. And cut it up, the cobs, into 3 or 4 chunks. Next, get that little Miller beer souvenir bucket of hot dogs. Don't cut them up now. Just throw them in the pot. Kai gestured wildly with his shovel and exclaimed, up, 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 dudes, just like that. Stirring one more time, Kai continued, and now too many people had the country sausages too early. Now is the time to add that cut-up smoky country sausage. First, he pretended to throw a container at the audience and exclaimed, get that out of here! Again, he pretended to stir the giant boiler pot with his shovel. Now we are going to add 2 containers of my market brand, Ragin' Cajun Beer Bowl Chef Seasonings. Boom and boom! Now we will grab that igloo chest, ice, and shrimps, and throw it in the King Cooker double boiler. Not the igloo chest, dudes! Just the shrimps, and the ice, and the stuff in the container. Didn't I learn you right? And just like that, I learned you, Jose, to do a nice shrimp boil. Kai turned east. While the King Cooker is finishing our Asian shrimp masterpiece, we is gonna cook up about 4 pounds of nice white rice for the band for our shrimp boil in the rice kettle. I banged the mermite box again and exclaimed, cover that cooker up! Kai pretended to fill a beer bong with a can of beer, held it above his head, and pulled the imaginary tube down and stuck it into his mouth. Then, talking out of the corner of its mouth, Kai cooed animatedly at his audience. And while we wait, we hydrate. He animatedly pretended to chug it all down. Kai shook his head quickly, burped loudly, and exclaimed with a drawn-out Cajun drawl, now y'all's put that on your soda cracker and eat it. Kai bowed as dramatically as if he were Orlando Bard on the stage of the Adventurer's Inn. Several people clapped. Bard grinned and said, I ought to hire you to play at my inn. I'd like that, replied Kai with a smile. In a more serious tone, Bard continued, all right, boys and girls, kitties and doggies, fun time is over. No socializing. Pointing each in turn following the I am watching you ranger sign talk at Gordo, Maria Orsic Schmidt, and Jose, he commanded, keep your cats and wallabies down, boys and girls. The Lady Ranger and Gordo knew exactly what Bard was referring to, but Jose was not certain. He thought he might know, but he wasn't sure. Orlando Bard added, Hi, take North Point. Schmitty, take South Point. Gordo, take Northeast Point. Both of you, Gordo and Kai, watch for the Sinocept sheriffs. Dino sheriffs look like jackal heads, but dress like me. Well, their faces are more human than the standard jackal head, and they keep their head and body hair trimmed short. They are not supposed to join us until tomorrow breakfast, but I have a feeling they will arrive later today. Dr. Kimball interrupted Bart's orders. Hey, Orlando, the water in the fountain is palatable, but I'm getting very faint radiation readings from the water in the sinkhole. Bart nodded, but you are saying the water in the fountain is safe to drink, Dr. Kimball? Yes, Orlando, the fountain water is safe for human consumption. I am going to clean some of the moss and debris from the shell pool, but it is surprisingly clean. It is the exterior of the basin that has most of the moss buildup. Bart continued to dole out his orders. Mystica, take Northeast Point. Keep the West Point clear so Dr. Kimball and Big J's crew can do their filming. And cover your ears, Mystica. The film is being made for distribution on Earth, where elves are not supposed to exist, at least in civilized places. They have filter tech and blur tech that can fix that problem, but Zale says it takes too long. He wants you and Gordo to hide some of your non-human features. So if you do get in this film, they don't have to spend laborious hours editing out the mistakes. Wear a hat or ditch the ponytail. Your choice, Princess, but cover your ears. That's an order. Mystica wrinkled up her nose and smirked. Aye, aye, Captain Bard. Bard ignored her snarkiness and continued barking orders. Padre, Anselm, to me. I need to confer with you quietly. Gordo, what are you doing staring off into the wild blue yonder? Get to your guard position. Get over to the northeast point. Padre, after you confer with me and Anselm, take southeast point. Big J, you and your crew are already setting up your cameras at the west point. If you have anyone free in your camera crew, Big J, have them trade off with the southwest point. I expect that Dr. Kimball will join your film team as her science testing allows. Okay, amigo. He gestured towards the southwest at Jose and shouted, Jose, take the southwest point. Jose stiffened, gave his ponytail an irritated shake, and opened his thin-lipped mouth to argue. He never got a word out. Big J glared at his newest employee, gestured with a massive scarred thumb to the southwest, then slipped from thick guttural vocalizations to a shrill falsetto.
Rapido! Rapido!
Everyone began to take their places. Gordo spat onto the tiles and grinned at it before sauntering over to the northeast corner. Padre and Anselm shuffled over to the center of the temple oval, but well away from the mosaic snake god icon.